Earth.
Now, we got an arrest in the BP oil spill case. We got an NBA idiot who's got a 7-game ban for a smash to the head with his elbow. And we have Mitt Romney tearing it up in the last of the primaries as they continue to whittle it down. The road to Tampa is drawing oh so close. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. If you just tuned in for the first time, woohoo! Welcome to it. Here's how it works. This is how we roll. It's all about the overnight highway and you. You can throw in your 2 cents on any or all of it, or just sit back and relax. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. You want to flip us a note? Go to americatonight.net. americatonight.net. Let's start with Mitt Romney and the fact that Romney is just sealing the deal. It's official, really. Really? I mean, we know he's the guy, right? All the suspense is taken out. You know what it's like? Andrew Luck from Stanford, the quarterback. I'm going to talk about that in sports shorts at the end of this hour. He is number one in the draft. And why? Because the Colts said, let's end all this nonsense and speculation. We're picking him. He's number one. We're picking him. He's the guy. So it's done. It's over with. Just like Romney. Really, it's over. He's the guy. He is the Republican nominee to go. He's going to be to go up against Barack Obama. The people around him know that. That's why they're focusing on going after Obama and Obama's policies. Romney smiling from ear to ear, winning 5 primaries in the Northeast. Here's what he had to say.
We believe in America. We believe in ourselves. Our greatest days are ahead. We are, after all, Americans. I can say with confidence and gratitude that you have given me a great honor and solemn responsibility. And together, we are going to win on November 6th.
All right, some of the odds makers in Las Vegas for fun on the side, throwing out what's going to happen. It's a big year. Anytime you have a presidential election, there's just a lot of excitement, whether you've got both sides vying for it, because you got an incumbent president, not as much excitement knowing from the Democrats that he's the guy, boom, he's going to be there. And it's Romney, who's the new face in town, because last time around, as you know, it was John McCain. And in the undercard, it was Sarah Palin. So the odds makers in Vegas, a couple of guys I know, yes, I used to live in Vegas. I asked them to give me what they thought their percentage was, not playing politics, trying to do it objectively. And in crunching some numbers, one odds maker I know, I'll give you just a little bit of his cred, went to MIT for what that's worth, so he's a real numbers nerd. He says that, honestly, from what he can see, and it's not a definitive or scientific or any of that, but in just trying to set the odds, he says that there is a 25-1 shot of him winning the general election. So I decided that was just too darn depressing. I went to somebody else I knew in Las Vegas, and I asked him a similar thing. He didn't even want to tackle it, said, oh, because there's just too many unknowns, and this is not the same as laying the odds or futures for who's going to win the World Series or what's going to happen, something else in sports, the horse racing, whatever, because we've got the Kentucky Derby coming up. So he really would have rather I asked him a sports question. But what he told me, he was willing to go a little bit higher than that. And he said he would say 20-1. 20-1? I was confused. I was like, 21? How good is that? That's not good. You're not giving me anything else. It's worse. They're both bad. 25-1, 20-1? I mean, yeah. So, America, for what it's worth, there are people that think that this is just like a little party for the Republicans, and there's really not much of a chance of Mitt Romney really unseating the man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, President Obama. But what do you say? I care about the people in the trenches, and I include myself in that, too, of course. So what do you think the real chances are, especially with Marco Rubio as the VP, what he could do in Florida? Could he deliver Florida? That's huge when you think of how a lot can hinge on a state that big and with so much at stake, what happens with Ohio and some other swing states. But I'm looking for the odds from the person in the trenches, the everyday middle class, duking it out, fighting the good fight, just trying to save some money, trying to have a little fun, trying to have the good life, but you're not on the million-dollar homes list. NHGTV doesn't have a camera crew out there filming any of your rooms. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Also this hour, just so you know, as I'm always throwing out the website, because all roads lead through the website, Facebook, Twitter, all that sort of stuff, we will check the mailbag. Lee in Texas said, Arizona immigration law, will it stand or will it topple? It's a crying shame, he says, if it doesn't stand. I admire the governor, Jan Brewer, for what she did in digging in and fighting the feds. There are other notes, similar emails, similar to what Lee had to say, because Wednesday the Supreme Court is looking officially, if you will call it officially, looking at oral arguments for the Arizona immigration law that never really got off the ground because immediately it was challenged by the federal government. At stake or at the heart of this thing was the fact that people wearing uniforms, police officers, if you will, when they were making stops for other things, could ask someone that obviously, let's say, didn't seem to have any kind of identification for identification, to ask them if they, you know, had ID. And then that ripped open Pandora's box over profiling and looking at someone and deciding whether or not they were American citizens. And the ACLU went berserk. They've gone berserk over this case, and they feel pretty confident that the Supreme Court is going to back it up. They're going to throw it out and say, this doesn't work. The Senate Democrats, in the meantime, are pushing to block immigration law. And, you know, immigration is the hot potato that just gets passed around, especially in a presidential year. Yeah, some conversation, but nothing that really sticks or has any substance because it can be too risky for the people who are running. So they'll say a bunch of platitudes on either side of it if they feel confident about it, but then step away from it. But the Dems are pushing to block Arizona's immigration law if the Supreme Court upholds it. So will the Supreme Court uphold it or not? That's the million-dollar question. Once again, here's my numbers, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, liquid CalMag vitamin D and organic iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonicsin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Right now, the average family spends one-fourth of their income on food. It's time to cut your food budget in half by using the best, most affordable food on the planet from eFoods Direct. The savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. Serve these delicious meals to your family tonight for a quick and easy dinner for about $1.25 a serving, compared to over $3 a serving for any other food. This food is compact, making it easy to store some away, and will be just as delicious in 25 years as the ones you cook tonight. Is it affordable? Absolutely. The new Alex Jones Family Pack saves you up to 50% compared to other food storage companies. See the comparison at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. My friends, as crazy as this world is today, you'd be nuts to not get a storable food supply. Give eFoods Direct a call and order one of the Alex Jones Family Packs and test it out today. Start your journey of food independence today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
If you want to weigh in on the offerings, please do 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Tom in Washington, you have the floor. Hello.
Hi there. I just wanted to touch on something you were just talking about the Supreme Court and how they're going to be hearing this thing about the Arizona immigration law. And while I think that Arizona has every right to enforce the laws of the land in spite of the federal government's reticence, I would say that it would be more advantageous to the Republicans politically if the Supreme Court were to rule against this law, because I think that an affirmation of it would give a lot of fuel for, or a lot of ammunition for Obama's strategy with the Hispanics.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, I think so. I see what you're saying. So it'd be better if it's the reverse, yes.
Right, but of course, you know, I mean, that's out of our hands. But I guess you could always cross fingers or say a prayer about that.
Yeah. As well, especially too, because remember, you know, part of the idea is, and I've been talking about this a lot on America Tonight, is what can a vice president do for you? And Marco Rubio, this very popular senator from Florida, could do a lot for that ticket. And so that's you know, in navigating those waters, it's tricky. And you're right, that could make a big difference.
I think that Rubio will, at the very least, deliver Florida. And in addition, I think that that he can at least cut into the base of support amongst Hispanics for the Democrats. I mean, I don't know if he'll take over the Hispanic vote. I mean, that's no more monolithic than the white vote.
Yeah. But, well, actually,
you're right. It's more monolithic. But it is not monolithic, you know?
Right. Well, here's what you have to remember, Tom. And you know, here's the thing. I speak from experience of spending a ton of time in Miami. You have different opinions among, we'll call the overall Hispanic population. For example, the Cuban-Americans who escaped and came to the United States and got their citizenship and did all that they could do and all that other sort of, you know, they don't back the idea. They don't like the whole illegal immigration thing at all. They don't want to be lumped into that group. And there are others that feel that same way. They support immigration, but legal immigration.
Absolutely.
And they hate getting thrown into the group. So that's what's interesting about the state of Florida. That's what's interesting with the Marco Rubio pick, if in fact it is him, which it will be, the senator from Florida. You know,
I think so.
And I think it's a smart move. I mean, here's the thing. I know someone that worked with Rubio and they say, listen, he's a listener. He's like Christie. He could disagree with you, but he will listen. He listens to the people around him, tries to hear their concerns. And I like that. Let's get some open-mindedness of hearing other points of view, even if you don't agree with them, and telling, you know, going through the system. What about some conversation?
Well,
and, you know?
Yes, Ben. Well, in support of what you were just saying, I think that something that the Romney camp can use in its favor that I think that they haven't yet would be that the thing that made him such a target for the other Republicans in the primary season could be a strength for him in the general election in trying to reach the middle, because when he was governor of Massachusetts, he was forced to compromise with a Democratic assembly. And I think that shows that he can work. Though I think that if the Republicans manage to win the White House, I think they will retain the House, and there's a very real chance they can get the Senate. And then, I mean, that's what I'm saying my prayers for.
Right.
I think that might be right.
I think the legislative branch is what you – I think that's what you got to look at, yes, too. Because that makes a difference, obviously, in the numbers. And I said that before. As much as when you're looking at – Tom, always good to talk to you. When you're looking at what's happening – with the presidential race, the one thing you have to remember is what happens with the Senate, what happens with the House. That is so key. I mean, it's about the numbers, especially the way things are now and the way that, you know, there's a divide and you're on one side or the other. It's like Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, the Democratic senator, longtime senator, who says there's, you know, no chance of passing the, talking about the Arizona immigration law. In just in case the Supreme Court upholds the policy, he says it stands no chance of passing in that House, but it's, you know, there's a challenge by the Democrats to the decision, because it's going to be there on Wednesday, and the next time we meet on the show, we'll be talking about this, although there's not going to be any kind of a written decision until the summertime, so the justices won't rule on the case until the summer anyway, but, you know, You had the one case where you had the president cautioning the unelected judges against overturning his domestic policy accomplishment, meaning the health care, that whole overhaul thing. And remember, then they had to come back and say, oh, well, he's not questioning the Supreme Court justices. And now you have Schumer questioning the Arizona immigration case, saying that immigration has never been an area where states are able to exercise independent authority, and that if he would introduce a proposal, if the Supreme Court ignores, this is what he said, the plain and unambiguous statements of congressional intent and uphold the Arizona law, because he says the proposal would only allow states to arrest illegal immigrants if they are operating – under an explicit agreement with Washington and are being supervised by federal officials. You know, it sounds like gobbledygook nonsense to me. The bottom line is the Democrats are saying, no. You're not touching illegal immigration. We're going to see whatever we can do to block that. Depending on the Supreme Court, we're going to put this in play. Because there's other states, there's Georgia, there's Alabama, that have also put out there what Arizona is trying to do, having their own immigration laws because they're drowning in all this debt and all these problems since they haven't done anything federally. Yes, there's been some ICE bust-ups, and there have been the same things that we've seen with the Border Patrol agents. I'm not taking anything away from that. But we're still seeing all this, even though there's been a reverse migration, we've seen that supposedly the numbers are down, you still have all the illegal drugs. I mean, how many tunnels did they find in San Diego since the beginning of the year? You want to know? 35. 35, and there could be more. I mean, there are massive problems in this country because of the blinders that have been put on to illegal immigration, and it's terrible for the people who want to come here legally, who are standing there waiting in line, spending all their money, talking to attorneys, and getting all their ducks in a row so that they might be able to get to America, might be able to become American citizens. And while they wait, others are coming in and may have the amnesty wand eventually waved over them in the end. It's a tough question. It shouldn't even be in, we shouldn't be in this situation, because if things had been enforced, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. If only the laws that were there had been even, I don't know, 75% enforced, then we wouldn't be in the predicament that we're in. It's constantly the game that we're playing, thanks to Washington. It's called catch-up, and we're behind always. We're reacting instead of acting. The idea when things are running smoothly is you're ahead of what's going on. You're ahead of trends. You're looking at the problems. You're looking at Social Security being drained. You're looking at the demographics of the population. And you're looking at what's going on in the states when it comes to illegal immigration that's been allowed to stand for so long, although the feds will argue that they're doing everything that they can, and in fact, it's improved and all that other stuff. Hey, coming up next on America Tonight, you ever wonder about the one-hit wonders? A guy named Benny Mardones joins us next. He's got an interesting tale to tell. And at one point, he had a hit song on the charts in 1980 and in 1989. I'll let him tell you about that, about the big check he got, and about his friendship with Dick Clark, who just passed away, as many of you know, last week. Stay with us.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook Anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpoles. pole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Now, probably right now you are listening to Into the Night. Who doesn't know that song? But what you might not know is that Into the Night hit the top 20 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart twice. How does that happen? I mean, twice, especially 1980 and again in 1989. That was a trivia question that I, by the way, got right one time. Very thrilled to welcome in from our virtual green room, Benny Mardones, who is an American pop singer and songwriter who's been around for a long time, really pumping out some good stuff, and including Into the Night, which I think a lot of you would recognize, which is why I brought that up. But he's got something new, I've Got You, and in between, he's done all kinds of things. Hey, Benny, thanks for hopping on with us.
My pleasure, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So explain that. How does it, I mean, you know how many people are envious of that. You get this hot hit single, it's really true, and then boom, it new life practically 10 years later. What happened?
Well, what happened was there was a disc jockey on at night in Phoenix, Arizona, and the program director just showed up at night, and they were sitting there talking, and they pulled out the Never Run, Never Hide album that had Into the Night on it, and the music director said, that was my prom song, Into the Night. And the PD said, that was my prom song, too. He said, why don't you play it? Don't say it's a recurrent, just play it. So they played it. And they got over 111 phone calls that night from kids thinking it was a brand new record, because when it was out initially, they were 6 years old. Now they're 16 years old. And they called up and started requesting it. And within 1 week, it was the number one most requested song at the station. Well, across town was the rival station, and it was part of a chain of parallel one stations across the country. Guy Zaposian was the guy who owned the stations, the chain. So they added Into the Night, and I'm living in Woodstock at the time with my little boy, and all of a sudden, the program director from WDST in Woodstock comes screaming up my driveway and says, how does it feel, pal? And I said, what, Richie, what? He says, how does it feel to be back on the Billboard charts? And I said, Richie, I don't know what you're smoking, but I hope you bought enough for everyone. And he said, no, I'm serious. And he opened up Billboard, and there I was, 66 with a bullet. And I thought, what in the world was going on? Because I had no idea what had happened in Phoenix and that it had been added on a bunch of P1 stations across the country. And the rest is history. It just took off, and a whole new generation of people loved it and bought a million copies of it, and I was back on my feet and back in the ring, you know. And it was a blessing from heaven, I'm sure.
And the thing is, too, it also introduced you to a lot of people. And I mentioned this, you're a songwriter, which is very important because you've written songs for all kinds of people. I mean, you've recorded, right, over 100 songs or somewhere in the neighborhood, and you've written them. And you did some stuff.
I've recorded over about 141 songs.
Wow. And you did some stuff for Tommy Mottola. What was that like?
Tommy is wonderful. When I first started out as a staff writer at CBS, Tommy Mottola's office was right across the hall from mine. And then he went and found Hall & Oates and started Champion Entertainment. And, of course, for him, the rest is history. But to this day, I can call Tommy Mottola and he'll call me right back because, as he says in my documentary they're making, I'll always have a special place in my heart with Benny Mardonis because we started out together. So I knew Tommy before he had done really anything in the music business, was just getting started. He's a wonderful cat and has always been in my corner.
Yeah. The music industry, you've seen it, Benny, really change and morph into all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
What's the difference? What's the biggest difference between writing songs when you were doing them, you know, 20, 25 years ago compared to what you have to go through to have songs out there and played and heard today?
Well, first of all, the music business is still a blood sport. It's a tough, tough business, as you well know, Kate. It's radio and the entertainment industry is very difficult. The main difference is, back when I started out, if they liked the song, they played it. And now they're not allowed to play it unless the bosses at different, you know, chains approve of it, whether it's Cumulus, whether it's Clear Channel, whether it's Galaxy. It doesn't matter. You can't take your record. I sent this record that you have, and I'm so thrilled that you're going to play it. I sent it to the program director of a major AC station in central New York where I have a big fan base. And she got on the phone and said, Benny, this is a hit. This is the best thing you've done in years. But you can't play it until she gets word from the hierarchy that she can play it. And that's the difference. It's very frustrating. And record stores are almost non-existent, as you know, and everything is digital, and it's on iTunes, which this record will be on iTunes in a couple of weeks, and it becomes more convoluted this way. I mean, in the old days, when I started out, every week you knew what stations were playing it, and you could count on kids going to record stores to buy it, and you would do in stores and promotion and all kinds of things like that. And now it's a complete different industry. It really is.
Yeah. You mentioned that what a great big audience you have in New York and parts of New York, and you have sold out performances in Syracuse. You're like the favorite son in Syracuse, aren't you?
Yeah, we still draw 5,000-10,000 people to outdoor shows, and I can still sell out the theaters when it's cold up there and I play in the wintertime.
Yeah, that's terrific. And take me back to when we started talking about the very beginning of your career, but you also had a band called the Hurricanes. What's become of the Hurricanes?
They're still the Hurricanes, and they're still with me.
Oh. And yeah. So, right, how did you hook up? Because, you know, that's always fascinating. How does the band start? How does the band stay together? How do you weather things? How did you meet the guys in the band?
Well, you know, the original Hurricanes in 1980, when Into the Night blew up, we did two or three different tours behind the record. And then there was a period of about 2 or 3 years where I sort of fell off the edge of the earth and got caught up in the excesses of rock and roll and having lots of money for the first time in my life. And I made a lot of mistakes. And when I came back to my senses and got straight again, there were a couple guys that still wanted to play and the rest of the guys I had to replace. And I found them in Syracuse, New York. They're the best band I've ever had. They've been with me for over 25 years.
Yeah. You mentioned that all of a sudden you got a taste of the money and what happened there and what that was like. How did you get yourself out of that funk and get away from the drugs and that culture?
Well, you know, when Well, in 1980, my writing partner and I were riding around Manhattan trying to get gas money, like 60 cents, dollar for gas money. Of course, nowadays it wouldn't buy enough gas to get out of the gas station. And my attorney called and said, your first royalty check is here. We were literally broke. When I say broke, I mean less than $10 between us. And we went down to the attorney's office, and our first check was $75,000 apiece.
Woo!
I had never in my entire life ever seen that kind of money. And all of a sudden, all the doors were open to all the A parties and Studio 54 and all that nonsense. And before I realized it, I had a problem with cocaine and drinking and things like that. And then something happened in 1985 that changed all that. And that was the time in April, on April 3rd, when my son Michael was born. And being from a home where I grew up without a father, I knew that I was not going to be a statistic. I didn't want people to tell him how good his dad sang or how nice of a person his dad was. I made a vow that my son would see it for himself. And to be honest with you, I prayed to God. I said, please give me the strength to stop, and I'll never do another line of cocaine as long as I live. And that night, I threw everything out the window of my now empty penthouse apartment on Riverside Drive in Manhattan. I never did another line of cocaine, another pill, and God's been good to me. And right when I did that in 1989, as you know, it came out and blew up again and gave me life and income and prevented me from having to get a real job.
Good for you, Benny. That's a good story. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, and because I had one friend who actually is dealing with this now, and we know that Michael J. Fox is really battling this and trying to get dollars for it and has been so valiant in his effort. But I hope I'm not talking out of school, and I think a lot of people know this. You tell people, but you were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, I want to say, like in 2000, and you've really been fighting that, and good for you. Your sound is great. Everything's good. How did that come about? What happened? You just started to feel headaches?
I was on stage one night, and my hand shook when I was holding the microphone. And I went to the side of the stage after the song, and I said to Uncle Tommy, I said, my hand's shaking. He said, you're tired. You've been on the road. It's just fatigue. That's all. But I knew in my heart it wasn't. And I went back out, and I kept testing it all night, and sure enough, little shakes. And so I was in Manhattan at the time, and so I went to a specialist, and he said, you just have an extended tremor, an essential tremor. And he gave me pills for it, and it worked for a couple days, and then the shakes came back. So I came to Los Angeles to see the number one Parkinson doctor in America, Dr. Mark Liu, who's the chairman of neurology at USC and the head of the Parkinson Research Center. And he gave me a million tests and realized that I had Parkinson's, which was a very, very tough pill for me to swallow, as you can imagine. I drove home thinking of it as a death sentence. And the very first person that sent me a letter and contacted me was Dick Clark. And he wrote me a letter saying that his dad had died from Parkinson's and that this is a different time for me to keep my chin up. He says, I know you're a tough guy and you're not alone in this battle. We're all behind you. And he invited me and Tommy over to his home with him and Carrie for dinner and gave me all the backstage stuff from when I did American Bandstand. So Dick Clark's always had a very special place in my life, and I always stayed in touch. So him passing away last week hit me like a brick wall, because he's one of those people, like, you know, I was dear friends with Roy Orbison and traveled the world with Roy Orbison. And when he passed away, it changed my life, and I think the same thing is to be said for Dick Clark. I wrote a song called American Bandstand, which he played on his show, and it was a very, very painful time last week for my family and I.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Dick Clark touched a lot of lives, definitely. Benny Mardones, of course, the song is called I've Got You. Thanks so much for coming on America tonight.
Okay, thanks a million. Hey, everybody out there, let's pray for football season to start.
There you go. Next time you're coming on, we're talking football, okay?
There you got it. Okay, thanks so much. God bless.
You too. Thanks, Benny. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
If you're not prepared, get preparedexpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. Getpreparedexpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Climate change. Water filtration. Wholesale batteries. Freeze-dried foods. MacGyver 101. Storm shelters. Shortwave and ham radios. Solar power. Buy your first farm. Heating with wood. Home defense. Ammo. Homeschool your children. And teleseminars with James Wesley Rawls, Bob Chapman, and Julia Shopik. Get Prepared Expo. Expo.com, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Meet your USAPrepares.com instructors. Vincent Finelli, John Moore, Matt Stein, Larry Pratt, Dr. Julie Pennick, Beth Ann, David Christopher, Julian Shopek, Robert Allen, and over 30 more. GetPreparedExpo.com. Download program flyers and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th.
The National Football League's annual coming out party for some of the best college players is set for later this week. But some of the mystery is already taken out of this year's NFL draft. I'm the Sports Princess, and that's next on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Tombstone Pizza. With multiple varieties to choose from, there's a Tombstone Pizza that's sure to please your family. What do you want on your tombstone? Family dinner is important, but who says it has to be at the table? When life gets busy and the pressure is on, pull out the good paper plates and settle in for pizza and a movie. It's fun, easy, and memorable for the whole family. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The Colts decided to end the drama early by announcing that Stanford's quarterback, Andrew Luck, would go number one in the draft. Indy goes first because they were the worst last season. Since 1936, the first ever draft in pro football, the team that finished with the worst record got to go first. The first time the Colts chose a quarterback, they were still playing in Baltimore and picked up George Shaw out of Oregon, who went on to 9 Pro Bowls. Luck becomes the 31st quarterback to go first in the draft, and 4 out of Stanford now. That includes John Elway, Jim Plunkett, and Bobby Garrett, the first from the Cardinal crew back in 1954, by the way. Will Luck live up to the hype? Who knows, but he certainly goes down in history as the number one pick in this year's 2012 NFL Draft. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. All right, I said that we would look at the mailbag, and we will. I put on my shoes. I'm ready to march down the hall, the virtual hall anyway, to check out everything that's been sent in, and lots of mail has poured in because we were down for a day or two, which is amazing when you think of how quickly technology moves. But what happens when the copper thieves cut your access to the servers? Yikes. You see what it's like. So the good news is that you were piling in messages and all that kind of stuff. So without further ado, let's check out the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. I do have mail. We already told you about one guy, Lee, in Texas, who was bemoaning the Arizona immigration law, thinking that there's a chance that it might actually be toppled, and he didn't like the idea of that. Of course, the rest of the week, there'll be a lot more conversation on that subject. I can't look into the crystal ball and tell you for sure which way it goes. There's a good chance they could uphold it, but, you know, this is just like figuring out what's going to happen with health care. Both of those decisions will come out, I think, right before the Supremes break for the summer. So meaning probably you're looking at the end of June. Maybe this one, maybe the Arizona law, maybe that one comes out a little bit sooner. So let's go to this one here, and this is from Jake times two, listening to us in Illinois. Jake times two, probably because there's another Jake. Jake times two says, Kate, have you been following what's going on with Marco Rubio? I know you've talked about the vice president possibilities and whatnot. Seems pretty evident, especially by the stop in Philadelphia with Rubio by the side of Mitt Romney, that he is the guy. He's the chosen one. Not Chris Christie or Jeb Bush or any of the other people who have been mentioned. And there have been a lot of decent people mentioned, but Rubio is obvious because of the Sunshine State. How much of a difference do you think he makes? Well, we've been talking about this for a long time about vice presidents and can they help carry a ticket? Do they really matter? Do you want someone that's neutral? Do you want the Hail Mary? What are you looking for? And the answer is anything that you think helps shore up your base, a state, the state where they're from. Is that a tough state? Can you win the state? Somebody who's not controversial, somebody who you vet out closely enough to make sure that you don't get any surprises. And having said that, it happens a lot in politics. That's why you see with sometimes people nominated for different things like the Supreme Court, you see what happens when they ultimately drop out. Something comes out of the closet, something about a housekeeper, something about something in the past. So the Romney folks are very good at vetting, and that's what they're working on. They're making sure that everything's in a row. But it's Rubio. I can't imagine that it's not. And then with the big Romney sweep on the primaries, I mean, it's on. It's game on against Barack Obama. Let's move on to another one. This comes to us from Liz, listening to us in Vermont, who says, Kate Delaney, I've listened to America Tonight for quite some time on WVMT. I think that's one of your original affiliates. So happy to be finally sending you a note. I've wanted to do it for a long time, so I guess it's long overdue. Here's what I wanted to mention. Did you know that there have been charges filed in the BP oil spill? And the answer is yes, I did know that. You know, that it's funny how time moves, Liz. It seems like time has gone really, really, really fast in this case with the oil spill, because we had that crazy watch, if you remember, with the live cam that went on forever and ever and ever. That was 2010, the oil spill. And here we are heading into May of 2012. Well, a former BP engineer is the guy that I'm sure she's referring to. There's been all kinds of stories now written about this. And he's been charged with destroying the text messages about Deepwater Horizon's oil spill, including one concluding that the gusher, the undersea gusher, was far worse than reported at the time. So the guy's name is Kurt Mix, and he's facing two counts of intentionally destroying evidence And the feds announced that on Tuesday, and it is the first criminal case that's been brought with the blowout in the Gulf of Mexico, which spewed about 5 million barrels of crude into the sea. So how about that? You know, Mix sent a message back to his supervisor that said too much flow rate over 15,000 and too large an orifice. So the FBI's got all that stuff, and, you know, Top Kill wasn't working contrary to what the public statements were. Shocker. You mean they said publicly everything was great and it really wasn't? I know you're all stunned by that. But this guy's going to get pinched. I mean, they've got the evidence. So I think they have the evidence that he destroyed the evidence. So I think he's going to have a hard time fighting this one in court, this BP engineer. And who knows if he's the only one, or, you know, they're trying to bust out a few people, but, boy, I don't know. Here's one from Tank, who says, I don't know if you've been following this, Ms. Delaney, but I think you've mentioned it before. What's going to happen if Sarkozy goes down and the socialist takes over? If Sarkozy loses the runoff election, what will our relationship be like with the new guy in town? You know, what will the relationship be like? You're talking about a change in philosophy between Sarkozy and who could come in. But the problem is, first you have to go through this runoff to see what happens. And then you got to look at, really what France's view is, what the long view is of the relationship with the United States. And of course the relationship changes here and there, but it's not going to change dramatically. I cannot imagine that it does. I think I mentioned this before, that one of the things that's interesting about what happens with the elections in France is they can't advertise, they can't have any ads. In fact, 2 weeks in between when the election happens, so there's no, you can run and run ads and have posters and everything, but you can't do that as you get closer to the actual election. And I find that fascinating. Can you imagine if that happened, that right, you know, at the tail end of October, the beginning of November, there was no ads? Could make it a little bit of a different game. The challenger is François Hollande, and he is the Socialist Party, and he's done well in the exit polls, and a lot of people think that this is it for Sarkozy, that he's going to be the guy that gets in. He has enough people that are backing him with the polls. They can see that, and there are other candidates too that were still there that were definitely different point of view, centrist, and another front leader, a woman, and now you have the socialist and Sarkozy going toe to toe. So my long answer to your question is, I don't think very much really is going to change with a new president. It just means another new relationship. I mean, are we going to have a new president? There's the big question.
He could take the endorsement and shove it.